I mean, what is Terrell Pryor going to have to show you in the next, whatever, 5 weeks that he deserves a roster spot?
Just that he can contribute to the team. You know, he's got to find a way to demonstrate he's got the skill set necessary to play in a role that we need him to play. And if he can do that and make plays and be productive, he'll have a chance to make the football team.
Would you keep him as a quote-unquote project, the guy that's maybe not ready to contribute on Sundays, but you think will be able to contribute?
You know, those are the great debates, I think, for me. Anyways, when you get into the room and it's like, wow, you have this guy who's, we'll say, at level 7 today, and you have Terrell Pryor or whatever the other player's name is that's at a level 6 right now, but in time he might be a 9 or a 10. Those are the fun debates that you have upstairs. But I will say that everything will be taken into consideration, his youth, his speed, his size, and his ability, and then what his upside is. But we think about all that.
Does his quarterback skills figure at all into the equation?
Not at all. He's here to play a different position, and at the end of the day, he'll make it or break it on that.
When you brought him in, why did you think he could do this? There are not a lot of history of pro quarterbacks becoming receivers. I mean, like guys from college, yes. But.
Yeah, guys from college. Oddly enough, I guess it's weird. I was talking to the scouts this morning, and one of the things I said, and I learned this, an old coach told me, actually, the quarterbacks all have really good hands because they spend their time playing catch. So it's not a product of whether he can catch the ball. The question is he a good enough athlete and does he have the skill set to learn to play receiver? Well, I've seen the guy turn a broken play into a 90-yard touchdown run, so I know he's got the speed, I know he's got the athleticism. So you just kind of put two and two together of can this guy make the transition? It's odd, but a lot of guys in the National Football League, if you go back to their history, they played quarterback at some point in their career. So one of the best guys that I played with, William Thomas, was a quarterback when he was a kid. He ended up playing outside linebacker for the Eagles. And oddly enough, he had a lot of interceptions because he had really good hands.
Why not tight end? Well,
again, I think tight end is semantics. You could go to Jordan Matthews in Philadelphia and say he's a wide receiver, but he never lines up at wide receiver. He plays tight end. But it's the notion of where can the guy have the greatest impact on the game. Football's a game of matchups. So the matchup that precludes him, well, that's the one hopefully we'll take advantage of.
Do you feel like at all that it's a reach for him to make this move?
I don't think it's a reach. The guy's made the NFL as a talent already. Now, granted, playing a different position, but he's demonstrated he has the athleticism, the requisite skills to be in this league. The question now becomes is can he translate that to something else? So it's no different than you draft a kid that played DT or played D-line and you stand him up and you make him a linebacker or vice versa. Guy we had when I was in Atlanta, Rod Coleman, we got him from Oakland. He came out of ECU as a Mike Backer. They moved him to DN. That didn't work. Then they moved him to three technique. Guy goes to the Pro Bowl. So it's just a matter of finding the skill set and matching it with the position he's
going
to play.
But might you strongly consider keeping only two quarterbacks if you know he's going to be on the roster?
All roster decisions, whether the number of quarterbacks, number of tight ends, the weird part about it is that it all comes back to you keep the best players, regardless of position. It was weird. I was talking to the scouts again about roster breakdowns and generalities. You say, okay, there's 40 teams going to keep 8 D linemen, so they're 2 deep. There's 30 fronts, they're going to keep 6 D linemen, maybe plus one. You may have a plus one at linebacker because the guy's a special team, et cetera. But then the Philadelphia Eagles one year kept 12 DBs. And everybody's like, how do you keep 12 DBs? I said, you never cut good players. So the reality is we'll keep the best 53 guys for our roster.
Right. The first 4 weeks of the season, you figured out how you're going to think it's going to be handled.
We have a game plan. Don't want to really get into it now. I think right now is about really evaluating the team and seeing where we're at. But the right time, we'll announce what that plan is.
Great. What have you thought of McCollum so far?
I like Josh. I think he's an A++ person. I think he's a leader. I think he can obviously spin the ball. He's more athletic than I think a lot of people realize. I think he took off one time today. I don't know if anybody thought he had the kind of wheels or the movement or the agility that he actually has. So in some respects, I would say age is just a number. Because the guy is somewhat defined the reality of like what he should be able to do supposedly at his age. But he's a good quarterback. He can spin the football. He can make the reads. He's making throws. I like where he's at. I like his progression. I like kind of what he's going to be able to do for our offense.
Did you guys know or realize that, that he could take off running like that anytime?
Again, there's a lot of ways to do evaluations. It's not just all watching how he played the game on Sunday. There's other pieces of the puzzle that we always add in. So I knew he was a better athlete than most people gave him credit for. So it's a product now of him being able to apply both his athletic skills and his quarterback skills to help the offense in the way he should.
Right. In the commissioner's report on Tom Brady, the appeal, he mentioned your cooperation. And he kind of praised you for that, said it lessened any penalties he may have been considering. Did you willingly turn over your cell phone and everything? Did you provide?
I did. I turned over my cell phone. It's all, again, I made the mistake. I made the admission, and it is what it is. I mean, I'll deal with any penalty I got. If they saw fit to be lenient, then that was their call, but it wasn't mine. So, but yeah.
Do you have any hesitancy about turning
over? None at all.
Ray,
none at all.
Where are you guys as an organization with Johnny Manziel? Have the expectations changed from this year, from last year?
I don't think the expectations change. I think that the development is different. You expect more because now you're in year two and you should learn a little something different and you should then appropriate yourself that way. From my perspective, again, rookies come in and all rookies are different. Some hit the field and they run and it's great, and then they hit the sophomore wall. Other guys come in and they take a little bit to get going and then they take off. Everybody's an individual, but I would say, you know, our expectations for Johnny haven't changed. We still think he's capable of being a good player. He's got to put the time and effort and energy in to achieve that.
Are you satisfied with where he is so far with everything he's gone through since the end of last season?
That's a trick question for me because I don't know if I'm ever really satisfied. It's my goal and my job to replace guys. So you just want to see that the guy's making the strides necessary to attain the goal that you have for him. I do think he's taken some steps that demonstrate that he's serious about the craft. He's serious about getting it all together. And his preparation's improved. And then that'll trickle to the field, and his performance will improve.
Could he be a starter in the NFL?
Use the right way and doing the right things, I think he can. You got to make sure that the guy is doing all the things necessary to take the next steps as a quarterback. If he does those things, he has the physical skills to do that.
Ray, right. You could. There's the likelihood that you're going to be in a lot of tight games again this year.
Okay.
So tight games come down to a kick, and you have two. Can you tell us why these two kids are here, what you thought of them, and when you're looking at kickers in camp, do you look the broad scope of the NFL that your kicker might not be here yet?
You do. The reality is that's the truth, is that you canvass the scope of he may be here, he may not be here. I mean, oddly enough, I've been in situations where we've drafted kickers, and, you know, the guy might have the best kicking percentage in the history of college, and then he gets to the team and it's terrible. And you're like, wow, what kind of mistake is that? So you can't just rely on the stats. You can't just rely on any one piece of it. It's a puzzle. And so you give the guy the opportunities, and either he makes the most of them or he doesn't. Oddly enough, I had Connor Barth when I was in Kansas City. I had Nick Novak, who's in San Diego. I've had a number of guys. We had Billy Cundiff in camp. We had Billy Cundiff, Nick Novak, Connor Barth, and Jay Feely all in camp at the same time, and none of them ended up kicking in the season. So we ended up with John Carney. So, I mean, it's a product of you got to find the right guy and then inevitably make the right decision of who's going to be able to kick in your stadium and make kicks. So we like these guys. We think that, you know, they can kick off a little bit different. One's a little bit more of a drive. One's a hanger. But they've both been accurate so far through camp. And, you know, you got to make kicks. You got to make field goals, and then you got to be able to give us the opportunity to cover kicks.
Ray, Mike Pettine told us that, you know, he wasn't happy about the text controversy. And, you know, recently there's been speculation that Jameel Northcutt's departure was a point of contention between you guys. So can you tell us how your relationship is going with Mike Pettine?
Great. Great. I mean, the guy doesn't invite you to his summer home. If he's mad at you, or there's a problem. Again, I think Mike used it best. We're singing from the same hymnal. The reality is that me and Mike have no issues. I can't tell you when I've ever been in some knockdown, drag-out argument with the man, ever. I mean, do we agree on every player? No. Can we sit down and have a conversation? Yes. You know, I like Pitt. I think he likes me. We don't have any – there's nothing that we've ever gotten into from my perspective and from his as far as I'm concerned that's ever been any major bone of contention. You know, every decision we've made has been a Browns decision, and there's times when he's had his hand in personnel. There's times when I sit and listen to what the coaches say. It's the natural flow of what happens when you have these two jobs.
So hey, Mike, hash over old stuff, but, you know, if I can ask, what prompted the whole texting situation to begin with, if everything was copacetic?
Again, that was a mistake on my part. Again, end of the day, I made the mistake. The reality is there was no ill-gotten intentions. There was no intentions to gain any advantage. It was just my mistake. Rules are the rules, and because of that, I'll pay that penalty.
Hey, Ray, how
does your job change during camp in the preseason, knowing you're not going to be here for the first 4 weeks?
I don't think it does. The reality is that I have a really good staff. The scouts are here now. I'm very confident that they'll be able to do the things necessary for those 4 weeks that I'm gone. Beyond that, I believe that you got to prepare the same way. You got to understand who you are. The goal right now is to find out who the Browns are and to keep the best 53 players that we have. In between then, now and then, it'll be the same process. Go through, figure out who's available, who may be on the street, who may get cut. If there's an opportunity to trade or to swap guys at the end, you can do those sort of things, or you can claim a guy at the 75 cut. But there'll be roster movement. It always is. I don't know if I've ever been a member of a team where we didn't have it, but a lot of those decisions, I think, are made earlier than most people think. You're just waiting for the ball to drop.
Do you need to have more contingency plans, like written down, if X player becomes available, we're willing to pick him up and cut RZ player?
No, from every instance that I've ever been in, even when I first got started in Atlanta, there's no decision that's made in a vacuum. They're all on the table. They all get talked about. They all get milled over. So the coaches have a say. Scouts have a say. I'm obviously in the room. But we talk about these things as to what's best for the Browns. That's the really only decisions that come up is player A better than player B, and do we need to make that swap? But it's not just me sitting in the room making those decisions. There's a conversation that happens.
What are you going to do for these 4 weeks?
A good question. It's a really good question. I haven't thought about that. Right now, all I'm focused on is how to make the Browns better. Training camp is here. It's upon us. I just got off vacation. I'm not looking for the next one. So I love football. It's what I've made my life's passion and my life's work. So I'm probably doing something that has to do with football.
I mean, will you be allowed to go scout during that time? Would that be a violation?
No, there's things that are off limits as far as what I can do as far as being associated with the team, the club, and the league. So if anything, my DirecTV package will blow up.
Ray, when it comes to roster moves, are they allowed to call you and say, this is what we're going to do?
Nope.
Ray, what have you thought of Hartline and what is it, Ray?
I'll start with the easy pieces. The guy's a pro. I mean, he's professional in everything he does. To taking the run test, to running his routes, to his warm-up sessions, he's a pro. And if you watch the meticulousness of his detail and his preparation, you'll see the reason the guy's played in this league and he's had success is that he details his routes, he knows how to stack guys, he does the little things right. And, again, I think that's what you need. You need a guy that has size, who can run routes, and catch the football inevitably, and he's proven he can do all those things so far.
Where do you think the roster stands compared to at this point last year, and does it still need to be improvement? Specifically at the top of the roster, when you compare it maybe to other teams in the division?
I would tell you, I constantly search for how to improve our roster. And yes, are we improved? Slightly. Is there more growth to go? Absolutely. I don't hide behind the fact that, are we where we want to be? No, we're not. Are we on the right track? I would say, yes, we are. There's obviously pieces that you want to address. But again, I've used analogies in the past. I'll use one now. It's like building a house. You can't put the curtains up till you got some walls. So it's just the order of which we're using to address things. But I do think we're going to be good on both lines. We're going to focus on controlling the line of scrimmage and then letting our skill kind of show what level they're at. We think our back end is really good on defense. We think our offensive skill is capable as well. So the pieces are in place for us to have success. Now we just got to go out and demonstrate that we can.
Ray,